Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Rick, aka the Black Capitalist from California, and you're listening to the show on Blog Talk Radio, Capitalism for Conservatives and Liberals. And this show airs every Monday at 7:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our job is to bring the meaning of capitalism to the American people. America has a new president, and I'm not sure the C word or capitalism will be talked about like it should be. Liberals try to slime capitalism, and conservatives run from capitalism and try to avoid capitalism at all costs. But that's not going to happen on our show, because this is the show Capitalism for Conservatives and Liberals. Hey, this is Rick, aka the Black Capitalist, and this is the Capitalism for Conservatives and Liberal radio show. This is our first broadcast. Been wanting to do this for a long time, and since we have a new president, now it's time to do it. And I would like to say maybe he and his cabinet will use the C word or capitalism often. That's the C word, capitalism. But you know what? I haven't heard it used that much, even though your current guy, Mr. Trump, is a billionaire, you know, real estate mogul. But I know one thing. The conservatives and liberals have never really embraced the word capitalism, at least in the last since Reagan was president. And I was a young kid when Reagan was president. I do remember him when I was finishing up my military career, or actually starting my military career. But here's the deal. Capitalism is what's happening. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there on the political side and a lot of voters outside, out there in the public domain that don't understand the word capitalism means. And it's going to be our job on this show to bring it to you, to bring it to our listeners, because without that, without capitalism, nothing works in America. And the reason why I titled the show Capitalism for Conservatives and Liberals is because, you know, I don't consider myself either one, a conservative or a liberal. You know, I am a capitalist. And sometimes, those two words, those two ideologies, I think people call them the liberal ideology and the conservative ideology. Those words are so ambiguous nowadays, because you can be a conservative and have things that you do that are considered liberal, or you can be a liberal and do things that are considered a conservative. So to label someone with these words, conservative or liberal, it's just in my opinion, it's dumb. Okay, so I wish people would call themselves either Republican or Democrat and lose those two words, conservative, you know, and liberal, because it just causes all these problems. It takes the focus away from what makes America great. If you ask the average person about what they're looking for, you know, the average person would say, "I'm looking to have to work hard, and to have a great job, and to do the things that I want to do, to raise a family, to buy a house, or even have a great apartment if you live in New York, actually Manhattan, I should say." So that, you know, most people are like that. Most people don't say, "Well, I just want to, live my life and have everybody pay my bills and have live in public housing, even though I could do better, or basically survive. Nobody in America that I know basically just wants to survive, because there are too many things that people see. There are too many things that people want in life, like cars and clothes, and they want to travel and they want to have fun, and all those things require money. Okay, so most people are like that. Most people are willing to say, "I'm willing to do something in exchange for money, and if I do it well, then I expect to have a higher income than someone who doesn't do it well, or if my particular craft, my industry, is in high demand, I expect that I'm going to get paid more money than someone whose industry is not in high demand." So if you're like the best heart surgeon, or one of the best heart surgeons in America, then you can expect that your income, your salary, is going to be higher than someone who is not the leading cardiologist in America. Same thing for your business. If you have a business and you have worked hard to produce the best product or service, to get the best to offer the best customer service, and you have the best customer loyalty, which means people are coming back over and over and over and over again, then you can expect to have the highest revenue than someone who has poor customer service, low customer loyalty, and a poor product or service. And so that's what most people, that's what they expect. That's what their hope is, that if they put in X amount of hours of work, and these are quality hours of work, they expect to have at least average pay, or above average pay if they go beyond the call of duty in their job. So when people throw out these words, conservative and liberal, it just muddies the water. On the liberal side, this word is a sort of like a word that says, even if you have high aspirations of being very successful, just the word says to some people that you care more about social issues than you care about your fellow man or woman working and being successful. And I know that's not true based on how people identify themselves. A lot of people who are liberal, and I've had some supervisors and some business partners that were very, very aggressive in their business, and they wanted to make the most money that they could, but they also called themselves liberal, and it just threw a wrench in their operation at times. And on the other side of the coin, I've heard people say that they're conservative, and to me, the word conservative means that, and I know all the different definitions, and I'll talk about some of them. But overall, when someone calls themselves a conservative, that is a phrase that I've seen, at least, that person is identifying themselves as being more superior than someone who's not conservative. And over the next few shows, maybe that'll come out, and I'll be able to explain that a little better. And I can explain it better. I just don't want to explain it today on the first show. But so when someone uses that word conservative, it's like, to me, what I've seen is a lot of people who call themselves conservative, they typically have the characteristic of not wanting to be around people, because I'm just want to be around people just like me, and that does not include Leroy down at the corner chicken shack, or it does not include someone who has a $10 an hour job who's doing the best they can. It includes people who that thinks just like I do, and perhaps if they don't think like I do, they look like I look. And gosh, I'm not going to even entertain someone who doesn't look like I look unless they think like I think, and then I will include them. See, and that's the wrong way to do it. And if that's not totally true, that is the perception. That is the perception that people have, and that's the reason why a lot of people with good intentions of making America great sometimes don't get the full benefit or the full assessment of what they're talking about because they throw these labels out of conservative and liberal. So the reason why Mr. Trump won is because Mr. Trump did not use those words. He I think that the key or the phrase that is or the word that is being used now is pragmatic or pragmatism. And the a phrase that I or some commentary that I heard the other day basically said, Mr. Trump is not an ideologue, which means he doesn't claim one side of the political spectrum over the other. He doesn't position those two to battle one another so that one is a victor and one is a loser. He basically says, I want to make America great again. I don't care what your political ideology is. I don't care what your race is. I don't care what your income status is. I want everybody to do well within their own skin, whatever they consider themselves to be, whatever they consider themselves to be based on their ideological beliefs. Okay, so it's ideological. And so that's why he won. It's not it wasn't anything else. It wasn't – and here's the thing. People in the past, regardless of political label, they could have done the same thing, except they always chose to run with these either conservative themes or these liberal themes. And it just really just created this big divide in the country. And here's the funny part. When I'm sitting, when I'm out and about handling my business, I see so many people that talk about, let's say, for instance, they say they are liberal, but they say, I'm going up for a promotion at my job. I hope I get it. I'm trying to get, X amount of dollars more per hour. Okay, so that's a capitalist, characteristic. Someone who wants to work hard, someone who wants more money in their job so they can do better, that is a capitalist component. And the reason why, it's not that the person who is a liberal who wants to make more money, well, people might say, well, Rick, liberals could have the desire to make more money too. Yeah, that's true, but guess what? The company that they work for must be able to generate more revenue first before the employee can even think about making more money. It would be idiotic for some employee to say, well, I want to make more money per hour while my company is not generating more and more revenue. This is the reason why capitalism makes sense, and this is the reason why people need to learn about it, because the two, like liberalism in defiance of capitalism, or liberalism that opposes capitalism, those two are not congruent. Those two do not. I mean, they're going to butt heads sooner or later. Capitalism is congruent with success, is congruent with the company doing well because the employees are doing a good job, or because the company is just having massive success. So capitalism and success are congruent. Capitalism and conservatism that opposes or neglects capitalism, that's just plain stupid as far as I'm concerned. It's stupid, stupid, stupid. If you believe in the conservative movement and you do not include capitalism anywhere in the hierarchy of the conservative belief system, something is totally wrong with that. And I've heard many different conservative speakers. I'm not talking about individuals, because individuals, I mean, we're not political hacks. I'm talking about the big people in our society who say they are conservative, but they do not include any component of capitalism in their conversation from their soapbox, so to speak. They don't include any component. And I've listened intensely for the last 8 years, especially, you know, as this country was being pummeled by socialist themes and by socialist legislation and by socialist things that the government was doing. I rarely ever heard a conservative talk about the reasons why capitalism is what America needs. It was avoided. It was ran from like the plague. I sat watching hundreds of hours of different listening and watching different political people talk about this subject, or, you know, at least having the opportunity to talk about what problems America was having. And rarely, I would say 999 times out of 1,000 times, I never heard the word capitalism mentioned. So now again, we have this new president who is, as far as I know, I mean, whatever he's going to do is going to work, because America has been devoid of all the things that I studied in economics and business class at the Golden Gate University in San Francisco. You know, all the things, all the studies of supply and demand, all the things of generating revenue and how money flows and the benefits of having a great business plan and competition and first mover advantage, all these topics and themes that most business students take, you know, in study in college, none of those disciplines, those economic 101 or business management 101 themes were ever exhibited in these last 8 years. And it was so sad that these things were not exhibited and pretty much released so great things can happen, just like they happened under Ronald Reagan, when Ronald Reagan had an economy worse than Obama, way worse than Obama. The economy recovered in about 3 to 4 years, and here we are 8 years later, and like the stats are reported, there are 95 million people unemployed in America. There are major problems with national security and border enforcement, with just thousands or not thousands, millions of people from other countries, including, you know, countries not just including Mexico, but countries from all over that are coming in through that southern border, has totally disrupted the American economic and the American business scene here in the United States. And it's so sad. And it's not so much that I know and I feel that, and I know most Americans feel, they have no angst or they have no hatred toward people from other countries. What they do hate is the fact that the way it was done through executive order and through bypassing Congress and the person in charge, Mr. Obama, basically just signing things willy-nilly to make things happen. That's what people are mad about the most. So I know here in California, like I was mentioning, I mean, things here are just totally upside down. California used to be one of the most innovative, the most motivated, the greatest entrepreneur state of the 50 states in the United States, and now it's like the most impoverished state. It's the state where people don't even try like they used to try 10, 15, 20 years ago. It's a state where, you know, I just recently saw, you know, 40-year-old men coloring books, you know, in a coffee shop, in a supermarket that has a little cafe inside. I mean, these men were 40, 45 years old, you know, coloring books like a 5-year-old. And so what has happened here in California? What has happened here? Because the strength and the benefit of capitalism has not been communicated to the masses, and has. This is very early, so I'm having my mouth is not ready to talk, even though my brain is ready. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, so what has happened in these last 8 years, last 10 years, with, you know, based on the real estate crisis? A lot of people here, at least in California, have lost their zeal to win. See, and that's what happens when you inject socialist policies into a strong system that was primarily a capitalistic system. You have participants now that are not fighting like they used to 10 to 15 years ago. They don't have any aggressiveness to win like they did 10 to 15 years ago. And everybody is just basically settling for less. They're saying, you know what? Gosh, I would really like to make $100,000, but I'll take 40 if I can just maintain and sip my latte and you know, wear my Jamaican hat over my Rastafarian dreads. Just kind of like just pace this, you know, make it on by. Maybe I can, you know, I'll pay my rent. Maybe I can rent with 5 people. You know, I have 5 people that I rent with, and we all pay like $200 a piece. We can just sit around and you know, watch some of the TV shows and watch our favorite actors, you know, just do their thing and watch YouTube videos and spend hours and hours and hours on social media. So I'm being a little bit facetious, a little bit. I'm messing a little bit, but I'm also telling the truth. I am telling the doggone truth about this, and that's the reason why that capitalism will make a comeback. It'll make a comeback for those who believe in it, who have experienced it, and will continue to fight for it. Right now, since we have a new president elect, President Donald Trump, there are so many people, and I can't understand it, there are so many people that are saying, oh no, we want the miserable life we had that we experienced over the last 8 years. A lot of people are like, oh no, there's no way I can have this new guy come in and disrupt the apple cart. Well, on our next show, we're going to talk about who these people might be that are saying this, because all the people that I know that want to work, that want to have a great business, I would say the majority of them, the people I know, are struggling because if capitalism is not first, it becomes difficult for people to move products, goods, and services from, you know, manufacturers to consumers, because the consumers have no money. And part of me reluctantly, I don't want to think this, but like I said, reluctantly, gosh, I can't even talk. I think that was the plan all along, was to harm the American citizen, to make the lives of Americans worse and make them more dependent on the government. And when this happens, when you have the people with no hope, no food, no jobs, no opportunities, where else can they go except for good old Mr. Government, so that the government can come to the rescue? That is not the American way. That is not the American dream. And I know some people are out there are saying, but you know what? It's time for people who have had less to start getting something. But check it out. It should not be at the expense of people who believe in the American dream. The American dream should not take second place to government policy to forcibly, you know, change the political landscape, to redistribute money from the haves to the have to the haves not. If people who are in the have not column want to compete, they have every right and opportunity to, using capitalism, transfer money through competition to themselves. I mean, so if you're making $10 an hour and you want to make $25 an hour, and let's say, you know, you at least have a place to stay, you can, you know, you can, you know, you, maybe you can't eat shrimp and steak or crab or lobster, you know, but maybe you can have like, you know, a, like basic meals, and you can have like hot dogs, and you can have, you know, vegetables. But there is a course out there that's going to teach you how to become a computer programmer, and fortunately there are programs where people can study these things, and it won't cost a lot of money, or sometimes it doesn't cost any money. I am a participant of and a benefactor of a Cisco program that when I left corporate America and, you know, and I was kind of trying to figure out what I wanted to do, there was a program that was offered that taught anybody who wanted to sit in a class for 8 months how to learn to prepare for the Cisco exam, the Cisco networking exam. So I did that. It cost me money to drive to the location, to buy lunch, and to sit there for about 3 to 4 hours a day, about 3 or 4 days a week for 9 months. So that was my cost. And after completing that program, I took the Cisco Networking Associate exam and passed it. So people cannot tell me that there is no way to elevate them, their lives and themselves from a position of maybe lower income or poverty to a position of middle class and maybe upper middle class income. There's no way I could ever believe that, because there are so many opportunities in America where people recognize. They recognize that there is a problem. They recognize that not everyone can come up with $25,000 to pay tuition to a vocational program. They recognize that there are a lot of sharp people out there that are looking to better themselves, but the government can't force people to do it. There has to be something burning inside of that individual that says, you know what, I know I'm eating bologna sandwiches right now, and I'm living in this apartment where there's gunfire, and maybe there's like ghost riding the whip, you know, car donuts, and you know, down the street from my house, but I'm going to this class that has been offered to me. It is not expensive. In fact, it doesn't cost me anything to go, so I'm going to go. You know, after I finish working my job, you know, my $12 an hour job, or maybe you know, I have a little small business on the side. You know, you can take that however you want to take it. But capitalism is the way to go. And so this show, Capitalism for Conservatives and Liberals, is going to be broadcast every Monday morning at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time for people to listen to it. This show may have sounded a little rough. It's the first one. And I've done about 200 shows on different topics. But this show is near and dear to my heart because I want to see America succeed. I want America to be great again, big time, because when America's great again, it's great for me, it's great for my friends, it's great for my family, great for my sons, great for my wife. It's great for everybody who wants to participate. So anyway, I want to thank you for listening to today's show, and I will see you on Monday, which is December 26th, 2016. Merry Christmas to everybody. And we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Hi, this is Rick, a.k.a. the Black Capitalist from California. And you're listening to the show on Blog Talk Radio, Capitalism for Conservatives and Liberals. And this show airs every Monday at 7:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our job is to bring the meaning of capitalism to the American people. America has a new president, and I'm not sure the C word or capitalism will be talked about like it should be. Liberals try to slime capitalism, and conservatives run from capitalism and try to avoid capitalism at all costs. But that's not going to happen on our show, because this is the show, Capitalism for Conservatives and Liberals.